How's everybody doing this morning? Dave, could you take care of that? Thanks. This morning's message is one that cannot be understood by everybody. Children generally will do fine with it. And those who have become as children will do fine with it. Some of us may be a little too smart for it. But it's a message that is taught clearly in God's Word, and yet is hidden from the wise. That is, the wise of this world and these worldly things. Welcome to Glen Acres this morning. Glen Acres is a church that is growing in faith, as the previous slide said, and is striving for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. That is a verse which is rich in meaning. Striving for the faith that was once for all delivered. If you consider the faith that was taught by the apostles, received by the apostles, to be pure, and if it isn't, nothing else is. They walked and talked with Jesus. If you consider that worth striving for, you have a job on your hands. And you do. You will find resistance at every turn, because there is such a thing as evil, there is such a thing as supernatural evil, and God will give it to you to be part of the battle against that evil. We know ultimately that God wins. We've read the end of the book of Revelation, and throughout the book of Revelation there is revealed a series of wars, actually a series of battles in the final war between good and evil. We, as a church, are embroiled in the midst of that war. We are constantly. It may sometimes be visible, sometimes not. But the forces of good and evil stand against one another. And we simply choose a side by the decisions that we make on a daily basis and on a momentary basis. So we should be willing to strive for the faith. Now, I don't believe it's just the faith as a body of knowledge and understanding. Excuse me, just a minute. Dave, could you cut down a little bit on the podium and more on the lapel? Thanks. It is not just a system of belief, but it is also the faith given as a gift to the early church, to the apostles. And so we should be thinking of both things as we look at the Scripture. Also, we're seeking to abide in love. We're growing in faith. We're growing in love. We learn, as time goes on, to love one another in spite of differences, to love each other in spite of various personal persuasions that we have. And that is part of the process. Okay, this morning's message is entitled, Faith That Works. You may be aware that there has been, throughout the history of the church, a battle between people who believe that you are saved by works, and people believe, some, that you are saved by faith. And so, some centuries ago, actually, there began a big debate between these two different camps. And you can say, well, how in the world can anybody believe that you're saved by works when you read the Scripture? Because it teaches plainly we're saved by grace, by God's forgiveness, His grace, not by how good we are, not by anything that we can do in and of ourselves, but only what we can do by God's grace through us. So He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, even of our faith. Even our faith is a gift. Basically, the way it works, and I'm going to be emphatic about this morning, the way that it works, how faith works. If we are willing, God is responsive. If we take it upon ourselves just to have a little bit of mustard seed faith, God will give us a great deal more in response. You see, when He gives pressed down and shaken together and overflowing. When we give, well, we're pretty limited as humans. We give what we can. But when God gives back to us, it's huge. We have a bit of faith, and He gives us something even greater in response to our willingness. So we take, as the scripture says, draw closer to God. He will draw closer to you. So we take a step toward God, and we're a little bit closer. But then, in response, He takes a step toward us, and we're a lot closer. You see how the little decisions, the little things in our life have a huge, huge effect on how God blesses our thinking, our understanding, our hearts, our lives. Just a little bit of effort. Just enough respect to listen for a moment to His voice. Okay, this morning's message is actually in four parts. The first part is faith that works, works. Now, that may sound, you know, amazingly simple, but there's a double meaning there, which is intended. Faith that works, you see, the debate was, you're saved by grace, you're saved by works. Now, the scripture settles that question once and for all. It never should have been a debate. It was a debate between men who did not get it. You say, but they were some of, you know, the church's greatest minds. Yes, but what about the church's greatest hearts? I'm going to propose something to you this morning. It's a challenge. The apostles didn't get it. Right? The apostles didn't get it. Oh boy, now we have a problem. The apostles didn't get it. Did they later? Yes. Peter didn't get it. Peter was rebuked by the Lord several times. He did have faith in Christ. He did have a beginning faith. But he didn't understand things. And he became the instrument of Satan in the process of starting out and progressing. Jesus said to him at one point, "Get behind me, Satan, for you do not know of what spirit you are." Oh no, Peter, the apostle, is now finished. Jesus has rebuked him. Well, no. Later on, the Holy Spirit came. And the man who didn't get it, got it. Later on, the Holy Spirit came, and the men who didn't get it, the apostles who didn't get it, got it. What an amazing thing. The question is this morning, do we get it? Well, do we get it? Partially? Sometimes? How well do we do? Well, actually, I believe very well. But God is our judge, and He knows what He has given to us. He has given us great gifts, and those we are responsible for. So this morning's message is in four parts. Faith that works, works. Double meaning. If you have faith in the Lord, you do not sit back, put your feet up on the desk, and say, "Sera, sera." We have arrived. We know the truth that sets us free. We are free indeed, and now we have nothing more to do. Certainly, we don't see that example in the apostles. They worked. They worked to the end, and they worked to the point where finally they were martyred for Christ. The people that walked and talked with them who didn't get it finally got it. They had faith that carried them through, even to the point of martyrdom. The faith that works
does you. There are churches today
that are called, they're called part of a faith word movement. I don't know if you're aware of it, but they're very widespread. They're huge. There are giant congregations that belong to the faith word movement. You say, well, what is that? Faith, that's good. The word, that's good. But that's not what it's talking about. The faith word movement is basically this. You're a follower of Christ? You speak a word, and you can speak things into existence. Does that sound preposterous? Yes and no. If you're familiar with the word, no, because God does that. Clear back in Genesis. He said, let there be light. And there was light. The scripture says that God makes the things that are seen, the visible things, out of things that are invisible. He simply speaks things into existence. Now, the faith word movement teaches somewhat the same thing. But that is, if you just believe, notice that word just, if you just believe, anything can happen. There's, like many of the persuasions of Satan, there's an element of truth, but a subtle lie that just turns everything around. Satan said, then you'll know, to Adam and Eve, then you'll be like God, knowing good from evil. To be like God. Well, there's an element of truth to that. We will be like God, and that's part of our ultimate purpose. Through Christ, it's part of our ultimate purpose. Now, he turns it around to something else. His desire, his heart was to seize power. Not to be given, but to seize it. That was the problem. So, the faith word movement basically teaches that you simply speak things into existence. Now, why is that so popular? Well, I guess you could say the obvious. Everybody wants to have the powers of Aladdin, I suppose. Or, even more obvious, just think. Speak a new house into existence. You know, speak a Mercedes-Benz into existence. I'm always picking on Mercedes. I really have nothing against them. They're a good car. Speak the man of your dreams into existence. The woman of your dreams. What's wrong with all this stuff? It is sheer utter stupidity. From the standpoint of God's word and his purpose and his heart. People want this spiritual power and don't even understand the purpose of spiritual power, the heart of it. Listen, God did not provide gifts for us, spiritual gifts, so that we could go around speaking things into existence that are mere things of this world. Something much greater, much greater. His desire is to see us really, not just happy, but joyful, fulfilled, just walking with the confidence and the peace and the joy of knowing why we're here and knowing that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. That has nothing to do with how much money you have. It has nothing to do with how much social status you have. I can't help but refer to it, Elvis Presley. Spent half of his life, roughly, becoming famous. Worked hard at it. Just worked himself into a frenzy to become famous. Spent the other half of his life living behind a brick wall that he had to build to protect himself from his popularity. What an irony. Well, not only that. At first, everything was in order to be seen by people, to be recognized. And, well, the last half of his life, it was to be anonymous, not recognized. You see the irony of that? We should be able to understand, anybody should, that if that's how it works, it's not worth the effort. You know, the things that are so important to us are just nothing to God. That's what the apostles didn't get. They didn't get it. Right up to the last, they didn't get it. You know, no collaboration with Keith this morning, but his communion meditation was right in tune with this morning's message. The apostles, right up to the end, arguing over which one was the greatest. Did they get it? Who is the greatest? Oh, I thought you were raising your hand. Okay. No, she was pointing up. Okay, that's all right. I thought you were raising your hand. I'm sorry. Yeah. He is the greatest. Are any of us close? Any close seconds here? No, no. God is to be praised. He is pure. His heart, his motives, everything about him is pure. He is light. In him is not even a shadow of truth. He is worthy of our praise. And if we get that, we understand that our station, our part, is not important. Remember Peter? Walking along with Jesus, talking about things. And he said, he was concerned not just about what was immediately apparent, but he was following the apostle whom Jesus loved. Following him. Jesus had made some reference to him. And Peter was all concerned about, what about him? What about him? And Jesus, in essence, responded, well, what about him? What's that to you, Peter? What difference does it make? You see, they didn't get it. The apostles themselves really didn't get it. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. That really is it. You know, becoming a Christian, living a Christian life, and still abiding in the idea that it's all about you means you're not abiding in Christ. That's what it means. Well, so, the faith that works, works. Now that means it puts on some working gloves. It gets up and it does things. If you really believe in Jesus, you're not going to sit around idly. You're going to do something. Now, note this in Mark chapter 11. It says, have faith in God, Jesus answered. I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believe what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Do you believe that? Good question. This is the word. Jesus is saying, do you believe this? Okay. It will be done for him. That is the truth. Now, this is commonly misinterpreted that, particularly in the word faith movement, that anybody that's a Christian can simply believe maybe less than a mustard seed and get whatever he wants. They don't get it, doesn't happen, and they think the word is faith. Oh no, we believe the lie. It's not real. No, they just didn't get it. You see, if you have a heart to do God's will, he will let you know what his will is, and when you decide to align yourself with his will, you will have power to say, this should be so, and that shouldn't. And God will honor it. It's in line with his will. If somehow you should slip up and ask for the wrong thing, God is merciful and he will deny you that request. So, you know, I don't care if you're part of the faith movement, that's how it works. I'm glad it works that way because believe me, there will be a lot of strange things happening in this world if God just answered every lame prayer that came along. My prayers are answered through a filter. It is understood, I have an understanding with God,
It is always, not my will, but thine be done. God forbid that any will of my own would be done on this earth without His intervention. His will is supreme. His will be accomplished. And if I walk in His way, following His Spirit with His heart, I will recognize His will. And that is a process. It is not something that happens at the snap of the fingers. Well, faith that works works. If you simply believe that everything you want is going to happen, well, you are sinful. I'm thankful that God did not make it that way, and He knows what He's doing. So, Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. It sounds like God's power. You speak things into existence. Is that going to happen? You bet it's going to happen. You continue to follow him, and it will happen for you. This promise is true. But it's a process. Thank God he didn't take brand new Christians and you know, give them this arbitrary power right off the bat, because things would be a mess. It will happen for you. You continue to follow Christ, his will from your heart. Have integrity, and things you will see that you've never seen before. Idle faith does not work. That is the second part of the message. I actually have it entitled, if I can remember here, Faith That Doesn't Work, Doesn't Work. Isn't that profound? Well, actually it is, because I don't just mean faith that doesn't work, doesn't work. I mean, faith that doesn't work, doesn't work. See the difference? If you're listening to the tape, you can't see the difference, but you can see the difference on my face. On my face. Faith that doesn't work, doesn't work. What does this mean? Well, if you don't believe something enough to put it into action, to follow it, to work for it, to make it your heart's desire, it's not going to work. That is not living faith. In fact, the scripture says specifically, faith without works is dead. Faith without works, if you're not putting it into action, it's dead. I don't care, you can believe in Jesus all day long, and if it doesn't make a difference in your life, it's dead faith. Listen, this is unbelievable. I talked to a man yesterday, it was just coincidental, but he told me that he went to a church for, I think it was 25 years, believing he was saved, and he wasn't. You know why? Because he thought that all you had to do was believe in Jesus, and you were saved. He was taught to receive Jesus as Savior. Does that sound bad? No, it's not bad. It's great. That's the beginning. He was taught to receive Jesus as Savior, but not as Lord. In other words, he really never submitted himself to Jesus as the Lord of his life to give him direction, to guide his path, to be there with him on a moment-by-moment basis. So, there was no action. There was faith. He believed in Christ, but there was no action. And it was a dead faith, and he recognized it. I had not prompted him in any of this. He just told me, Don, he said, I was in this church for 25 years, and I wasn't saved, and I didn't know it. Jesus wasn't Lord. I'll tell you a secret. You don't obey God, and you are not going to understand His Word.
you don't obey God, you are not going to have love in your heart for Him. You don't obey God, you are not going to walk by His Spirit. It just will not work. You can do anything else you want to. I don't care. Stand on your head and sing Amazing Grace. It doesn't matter. Do it for 10 years. It doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is that you believe enough that you do it. You see, I think the world sees a lot of churches where people believe but don't believe. They don't believe it enough to do it. So, faith without works, in other words, no action, is dead. Scripture says it. The old theologians used to debate this back and forth between the book of James, which taught salvation by grace, and one who insisted that some passages in another book were, it was just called the book of straw because it seemed contrary. Well, they just didn't get it. Should we be surprised? The apostles didn't get it. Until there was a change. Some people really think that they have it all figured out. They really think that they have a good knowledge of the Word. They really think they have a good knowledge of theology. And they know all the right things and don't understand a thing. That can happen. Wisdom, real wisdom, is much more than knowing a series of facts, or an infinite number of facts for that matter, if there's not wisdom guiding it. Wisdom is Christ. There's a place in Psalms that seems to be a personification of wisdom, and it looks a lot like Jesus. His love is the epitome of wisdom. Moving on. How do you grow your faith? Okay, so faith that works, faith that doesn't. How do you grow your faith? Well, to begin with, I have to go back here. Oh, this should be interesting. Thank you. How to grow your faith. In Mark 9, beginning at verse 22, there was a man who had a son who was dumb. He could not speak. He had fits. They would appear to be something like epileptic fits, but the scripture tells us quite plainly he was demon-possessed. He was desperate to see the healing of his son. So he comes up to Jesus. Verse 22. Here's what he says. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. You can hear the desperation in that. If you can, he said. Jesus said, if you can. You hear the inflection there? I believe it was there in Jesus' voice. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for him to believe. Everything. Everything is possible for him who believes. Is that true? Yes, if it's living faith. If it's dead faith, and, if all you want is money and fame and good looks and all the rest of it, it's dead faith, trust me. It's really, really dead. Everything is possible for him who believes. This word for believe means to really believe something, to cling to it, to trust in it, to rely upon it. It is from the Greek word pistuo. And it means to really believe. It doesn't mean you casually think it's going to happen. It means the kind of belief that motivates you into action. Okay. So immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. You see, he so desperately wants his son to be healed. He's been that way all of his life. He's so desperate. So
So he's saying, he's being quite honest here, and this is a good hint for us. The Father is saying, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. He knew he believed, but he also knew that he had some unbelief in him. Anybody identify with that? One man raises his hand. One man. And one woman. Wow. It's contagious. This is great. Well, I identify with it. Lord, I do believe. Help my unbelief. One of the most important things to understand if you want to grow in faith is understand it comes from Him. No matter how hard you try, it will not really come around until you trust in God. What do you mean, if you can do anything? He lacks faith in God's power. And that's what Jesus points out. Everything is possible for him who believes. You're going to see that one day. You keep following Christ. You stick with him. You mean what you're doing. I mean, to the point where you're willing to hurt sometimes, just like the offertory. You stick with it. Have some courage. Don't let anything deter you. Because Satan has all these things in the world that will take you away from God's presence. Where does your mind go when it's not focused on anything else? If you're like many of us, your mind tends to go, well, I got to pay this bill, I got to pay that bill, and then I got to go over here and do this, and I got to go over here and do that. And you say, well, that's good. You know, I'm ambitious. You may be confused. Maybe that's why God said, be still and know that I'm God. Be still. Get rid of all the static for a moment and just think, oh yeah, what am I doing here? I believe in Jesus. He said, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Oh. Maybe we could be more focused. We just relaxed and trusted in Him. So, how do you grow your faith? Well, there are several ways. I just have to do kind of a quick overview here. First of all, by fellowship. Hebrews 10:25. It says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some. And then it encourages them to meet and to build one another up in the assembly. To build each other up. That's the purpose of the assembly. And when you're together with other people who believe, guess what? It's contagious. You spend your time out with people that don't believe, well, that's contagious too. Be not deceived, the scripture says. Evil companions corrupt good morals. It does work that way, trust me. Okay, so maintaining the fellowship. Second, by prayer. Luke 17:5 and Mark 9:24. These were two specific situations where Jesus was asked to help with unbelief, and in each situation he did help. When we ask for God's help in our problem with faith, He will help us. Faith is a gift. Even the faith comes from Him, but only in response to our willingness and showing willingness enough to continue on, to keep going. How can our faith be grown? By Scripture. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's right. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God builds our faith. Listen, you don't believe this? Dig into it. Start really looking at it, understanding it for yourself, and you will find new things. You say, well, I'm not much at reading. Well, get to be a good reader, because God's Word is in the Bible. And you have two choices. Either read or have somebody else read it to you. You know, You know, if all you have is what people read to you from the pulpit or whatever, you're going to be spiritually poor as a church mouse, so to speak. The Scripture, God's Word, is a means of growing faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. The more you get into God's Word, the more you will grow in your faith. Not only that, the source of faith is God's Word. What do you mean? You already said that. The Bible is called God's Word. Jesus is called God's Word. Jesus Himself, His personal presence, Him in our hearts, abiding in Him will build our faith. The Word will build your faith. The Word of Scripture and the Living Word, Jesus Himself, will build your faith. Abide with Him, and He will strengthen your faith. Praise helps us to grow in our faith. If you don't know that, well, you haven't been doing it very much. Genuine praise to God from you to Him, not for any appearance sake, but just on your own, will build your faith, because it is faith. Just like prayer is faith. You pray to God, there's nobody else around, nobody that knows it. You spend an hour in prayer, and God is going to hear you. In fact, He may be rather impressed with like 2 minutes. You know what I mean? He may go, you know, there's some things happening there. I think I'm going to pay attention to what's going on. Maybe provide some special help. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 21, 22nd Psalm, verses 21 and 22, and Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3. Just passages that talk about praise. Just do it. You'll see it happens. It is actually through love that faith works. In Galatians 5, verse 6, it says that faith working through love. Wow. Faith works through, by means of, love. You can have all the faith in the world. Absent love, it means nothing. It's just like God could have all the power in the world, could do anything, could speak things into existence, which He can. And if He had not love, who cares? So He's just this tremendously powerful being in the universe that has done things. And so, we live, we die, so what? Everything is so what? If there is no love, this is all just an exercise in futility. But if God is indeed the God of Jesus Christ, who brought Him to the cross to save us, who raised Him from the dead to save us, then there is love. Without question. Well, finally, by trust. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. It clearly teaches that we need not to lean on our own understanding, but it says, trust God with all your heart. All your heart. It's a heart thing. Do not lean on your own understanding. And it says that He will direct your paths. That's what I want. I want Him to direct my path more than anything else in this world. Because without that, nothing else counts. Okay, well, and finally, obedience. Is it actually that late already? I'm going to have to cut this short. I will give a quick synopsis. This last point, faith comes by obedience, I'm going to spend some time on that later. Faith comes by obedience. You just do it, and it works. And you have confidence in faith. Not just faith. The object of your faith is Jesus Himself. You have confidence in Him. His heart is there. There is so much to be said here. There is a secret that hides itself from almost everybody. The world is running after preachers that can tell them how to have the power and how to have it now. How to have what they want now. and not who they want now. And I'm not talking about a man. I'm not talking about a woman. I mean, when I say who, I mean God himself. His nature. They don't get it.
We'll have more opportunity to talk about this later, but in obedience, if you want to get a head start on this, read John chapter 14, the last half of the chapter. Verse 15 through 31. Read the last half of the chapter. You will find that the apostles didn't get it. They didn't. Holy Spirit hadn't come at this point. Maybe that's why. But you will also see that Jesus gives them specific directions on how it works. He tells them how they can receive the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't involve praying through, and it doesn't involve speaking in tongues, and it doesn't involve any of the usual things that are being pointed to. It's much simpler than that. And it is a door through which no one can pass unless they do trust in Christ. So just a quick closing here before we sing our song of invitation. So what should we do? Well, the question was asked, John chapter 6, verse 28. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works of God? Wow. I've got to quit my job. I've got to go to a monastery. I'm going to become a nun. That's what I'm going to do. Is that what you're going to do to serve God? Well, you may be misunderstanding God's purpose. What should we do? Verse 29 answers the question. Jesus answered, this is the work of God, to believe in the one he has sent. What do you mean? That's work? Just believe? Yeah, if you really, really believe in him, it'll wind up being work, trust me. It will. So that is the work of God. God works in us to do that. And if we follow and do the work, he will bless us. He'll give us understanding. He'll give us many things. God can do anything. That's the truth. You may remember this scripture. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or even think. That is God. Be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Ephesians 5, 20 and 21. Listen, there are some new things that are going to happen. There are going to be a work of God in the hearts of people here that are going to be absolutely astounding. Will you see it? It depends on whether or not you get it. God takes all the colors of the rainbow. He surrounds us with proof of his existence. The trees, the flowers, everything testify to the reality of God. His word testifies to it. Look at the prophecies. Really look, and you're going to go, wow. And you're going to start to get it. That faith will grow and it will become more and more intense. You'll have something. In fact, everything that you really believe in. God takes all the colors of the rainbow and he blends them into the things that surround us. They testify to the glory of his power. They testify to the immense love of his nature. Everything is a gift, a bouquet to us. He's saying through all of it, I love you. I can't think of anything more eloquent than Jesus. He's sending Jesus. But he surrounds us with testimony to his reality and the nature of his heart. The delicate flower, the mighty thunderstorm, the pounding rain as you gather by the fireplace. All of it, it's all from God. And when you believe in him, you'll see. We're going to sing a song of invitation this morning.